Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Let's pass God's peace with one another this morning. Yes, indeed. Diane and I were discussing that one piece she played. Da, 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 da. Hi. I said, is it Bach? And she said, oh yes, it's Bach. It made me think of Radar on Mass. And he was trying to win the heart of a girl who liked classical music. And his two advisors said, all you gotta do is remember, just go, ah, Bach. You see the show? That was the one TV show that my dad and I really enjoyed. He was never in the service, and of course I was, so I could never understand why he liked that so much. You go, best darn show on the TV, you know. Anyway, go figure. Sometimes, you know, we're listening, Diane. You always disappear, though, after you've played, so I don't know where she goes, but here we are. Yeah, some of you were out at Oscar Olsen Park last week, and if you survived that, you're doing good, right? And that is pretty much made of tin, isn't it? I call it a Quonset hut. I don't know what that means, but the walls were just hot to touch. Ooh, stay away from me. But we made it. And here we are today. It's not too bad, is it? No. And I think we have whoever operates the windows and the fans knows when to hold them and when to fold them, or something like that. When to open them and when to close them, because... But now, maybe in another hour or so, the place will be filled with too much hot, warm air. I don't know. Scotty, you have something you want to say.
Yeah, I just wanted to make an announcement here. Next Sunday after church, we're going to have a short congregational meeting. We're going to discuss the old Parsonage Garage. Kind of give us some direction where we should go with that. We got some bids on the roofing. It needs shingles. It needs paint. There's some bad windows on the north side. So, you know, do we fix it up? Do we sell it? What do we do? We got some options. So we'll discuss that next Sunday.
Short discussion.
Yeah, correct. Especially if it's going to be warm like this, we'll keep it to a minimum.
Spread the word.
Right. So that'll be next Sunday after church. So, and then John had something you wanted to say.
Thank you. I just want to give a giant thank you to Scott, Chris, and all our young people, young men that helped us yesterday. Lloyd was there helping and doing pre-work. You did pre-work, you and Louie. And help us clean out the brush of those pine trees that were planted a number of years ago. We cut down and pulled out all the wild stuff that was growing in there. So when you leave, drive around, and like you could see through the place again. It looks really, really good. We had a neighbor come out and thank us for doing that, and I was very happy to hear that. But yeah, thanks to all those guys. Thanks to their parents, Tim and Lisa Leppel, Tom and Marlo Leppel, Dean and Murph Schwartz, and Brian and Julie Grotman. Their boys came out and helped yesterday. So that's it. Thank you.
And then they played baseball anyway?
Today.
But didn't they play yesterday?
Friday night.
Oh, Friday night. And they got up and worked here the next day. That's pretty good. Yeah. Thanks. I hope today's scripture lesson doesn't discourage any more work projects, like pulling weeds and, well, we'll get to that later. Joy's concerns. Anyone, anything special need to be? Nice to have a visitor here today. Amanda, right? Amelia. There, she knows her name. She says, someone's saying my name. Where is that someone? She's sitting right in the sun. I wish you could see that. Just looks like she's reading and wondering. There it is. She opens the book. Yes.
Getting better.
Better than what?
Than I was.
Better than ever?
Yeah.
Okay, I shouldn't be having this on. But. Oh, well, what's Jim and Paul going to do then if they can't push you?
Yeah.
Amelia, how you doing? Oh, she heard, see how she looks up? Someone's saying my name. What else? Any other joys and or concerns? Got to make sure I turn this off here. Well, let's move ahead then. Proclamation of praise read responsively. Let us call on our God and give thanks. Let hearts rejoice as we sing God's praise. Glory be to God, in whose covenant we find life. Let all the people tell of God's wonderful works. Let us open ourselves continually to God's presence. Let us seek the strength that God alone provides. Surely the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit searches out our hearts and enlarges our prayers. Who can separate us from the love of God? Will hardship, distress, or peril overcome us? Nothing can separate us from God's love. We can face all things knowing God's care. So we pray together to say, most of us here, Holy God, or excuse me, and let's start over again on that. Meet us here, Holy God, to search our hearts and strengthen our spirits. Plant your word among us that it may spring up in nurturing, inviting ways from the sake of all your creatures. May we find in these moments of worship the assurance we need to live triumphantly in the face of loss, discouragement, and suffering. Lead us by the teaching and example of Jesus Christ to trust you and your will for us. We believe that whatever happens, you can bring some good from it. Show us, O God, the good you intend. Amen. We've sung this before. Beautiful song, As the Deer. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength and shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Sometimes that longing is only a unnoticed, hidden part of ourselves, buried deep in us. And sometimes we even notice it in others, like now, singing and playing. But nevertheless, we need to confess that we're human. So join me as we say together, you know us, God, better than we know ourselves. You know the ways we scheme and manipulate for our own advantage. You are aware of how often our deeds fail to match the faith we claim. Help us to face ourselves with honesty. Give us the will and courage to change our ways. We give thanks for Christ's intercession for us. We rejoice as the Spirit gives voice to all we cannot express. Save us, O God, that our lives might give expression to your reign. So be it. The English translation of the Latin word Amen. Yeah. Words to live with. Thank you for typing them out for us. And, you know, sometimes, I know if you're like me, you just kind of forget about this, and then you're able to use them in a nursing home service or something like that. But it's good to read those every day, Brian. Yes, I know. Okay, move ahead. All right. James. Doing something different here, a little bit. We're reading a parable, one of the many found in Matthew 13. And then a little bit later, after a couple more parables, Jesus explains his parable.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, An enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the household came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" The master answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go out and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." Here ends the word of the Lord.
How close can I get, Vian? Thank you for reading that scripture. And for anyone who signs up, gives me a chance to hear someone else read it and have a little different look on it, which is okay. The Sunday, this is about the kingdom. Some people say the kingdom. Some people say the reign of God. Some people say the dominion of God. It's all the same. I think I've told you this before, but it bears repeating because it's one of the first thing I remember when I attended seminary. At the North American Baptist Seminary in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And everyone got together, all the instructors and professors and the students. And I don't know who it was that preached, but I remembered one thing that he said. "The kingdom of God has arrived." Now, as one who'd always thought about the kingdom of God is something in outer space, this was kind of awakening to me, you might say. Oh yeah, he's right. God is here. The kingdom has arrived. But still questions remain, like, well, exactly what is this kingdom? And how will we know if it has arrived? Jesus tells several parables in Matthew 13. One which we didn't cover last week was a well-known one. It's about having faith, trust. There's a little bitty mustard seed. And when you plant it, it grows and grows and grows. It becomes a giant bush. And the birds of the field come and nest in it and take shelter there. The kingdom of God, like a little mustard seed that grows. Today, it's a different parable about the weeds among the wheat. Jesus explains and says, no, let them go. Let them grow together. Some of you might not have heard my Idaho joke. Raise your hand if you've heard my Idaho joke. I see no hands get up. You're laughing already, James. It's not that funny, okay? Anyway, as you know, two-thirds of my family, my son and daughter, and they're both married, and they have kids and dogs, and they live in Idaho. They moved there 4 years ago, right across the border from Jackson Hole, Wyoming, a place called Victor. And so I thought of this joke about the Idaho potato farmer, although where they live, there's not a lot of potato grown, but Idaho is famous for its potatoes, right? And that's further west. But anyway, it's about the potato, I'm making this up, I think, potato farmer who had farmed potatoes his whole life. And he, as he ages, he gets a little tired of going out and cleaning the fields and all that. And finally one said, well, I'll put them in the ground and I'm not going to weed this year. I'll just let them grow. And then I'll go out in the fall and I'll dig them up. Well, you probably guessed that by fall, he goes out to dig them up and he can't find them. So what do you think he said? Now I wish I'd a hold him. Da-dum-bum. Thank you, John. I wish I'd a, it took a little longer for you. I wish I'd a hold him. And of course, that's the way we farm, right? We don't let the weeds grow. Nowadays, I guess we mostly spray them, huh? Especially out in the field. The corn grows, gee, it's getting more crowded in there. But, so how do they do weed control? Well, they spray. We used to, I remember, I used to take for about 4 years, I think I did that when I was teaching school in Iowa. I drove a bus and I supervised for Curry seed corn, getting rid of the rogues, they call them. That is a plant of corn that was out of place, or maybe something else was growing and we had to go through, we called it roguing. And then later we would go and pull the tassels so that the male corn would inseminate the female and make a hybrid, see? But why was I saying that, Amelia? We didn't let it grow. We had the farm. These stories come to me, and I'm just thinking of it now. I'm sure you've heard it, but it really illustrates the point, I think, about the farmer who's proud of his farming. All the rows are straight, the weeds are all gone, new pastor comes to town. He said, I'd like to see your farm. Okay. So the farmer is giving the pastor a little tour around his farm. And after a while, the pastor says, "Boy, this is a real nice farm you have there, a good farm. You're doing very well. God has really blessed you." The farmer kind of puts his head down. "Yeah, you should have seen when just God had it. He did the weeding. God, I suppose, would have just let it go. I don't know. What's this parable all about? Pulling weeds. When one of my boys was, I suppose, about 4 years old at the most, maybe younger, we had a small garden and planted carrots, and he wanted to help. So I said, "Okay, here's what you do. You go through the row and you pick out all the weeds, right? This one's a weed." And so, okay. So I turned my back, went in the house, came back about 5 minutes later, and here he'd picked all the carrots. You guessed that one, didn't you? And left all the weeds. We laugh about it now. And of course, actually, to be honest, I kind of laughed about it then, because it could be fixed. It was just a small garden. But what does this parable mean for us today? Supposedly, it's about the kingdom of God, right? I left my Bible up here, because there's one thing that really stood out to me as I read this scripture. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming. And Jesus answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is, there it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." Some versions read, "The kingdom of God is inside you." And they're both correct. Inside meaning not just personally possessing all of God, but sharing together. The kingdom of God is already in your midst. But we don't usually recognize it, I suppose. It came to mind the story of Jesus before Pilate. He'd been arrested, found guilty of treason or causing an insurrection, many things. Pilate wanted to talk more about this with Jesus, so he asked him, you know, he having the power and the only one who could have him crucified, he said, "They talk about you being king of the Jews. So you are a king then?" Jesus says, "You say that I am." What kind of answer is that, Jesus? But the discussion goes on a little longer, I would think. And Pilate presses him, "So you are a king then, just say it." And Jesus says, "My kingdom," in other words, "is not of this world. If it were, my disciples would fight. They'd take up arms. Let's defend it." But Jesus said, no. The early church was grieving the loss of their beloved teacher, all meeting together out of fear for the religious authorities. The Spirit came upon them, gave them courage, and they went out and proclaimed, "Praise God, the kingdom is here in this Jesus. And of course, they were severely persecuted, many of them. But the movement grew like the tiny mustard seed and went on. But of course, the mistake that the church has made over the years, it feels that it has to defend herself somehow. And of course, we've done some very mean, cruel, unloving things, especially to people who have been here before us, lived for hundreds and thousands of years. I won't get into that, but just for us to remember that that early church was called people of the way. What's the way? The way of nonviolent love for friend and foe. God's will that the kingdom of Jesus of God would be here on earth. Well, don't we pray that every Sunday? Our Father which art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's hard to get over the fact that heaven is something, is only something up there that we will ascend to when we die, and I don't criticize that at all. I thought of the story of, I just asked her yesterday, Lucy Newcomb. Do people know her at all? She sung at the park with us in a group called Stony Point a few years ago, three times. We sang yesterday at a memorial service for one of our members, Robin Kashuba, who had died a few months ago. It was in the historical Harrington Merrill House in Hutchinson. And when we were done, I thought of this sermon. So I said to Lucy, can I share that story? Because I've heard her tell it before. About her uncle. His name is Willard Dufresne. Some people say Dufresne. You don't pronounce the N's. They called him Buck. He was about 20 years old when it happened in Vietnam. I don't know if he was shot or stepped on a mine or whatever the circumstance, but he lay dying, bleeding out, as we called it. And there's always another soldier assigned to take care of him, make sure he quickly gets on the chopper to a evac hospital. But he's laying there dying, and the friend assures him, don't worry, he says. There's a chopper coming for you. And Buck says, it's not a chopper, it's a chariot. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Why do I mention that now? Because to him, heaven was home, and he was going there, and that's fine. But it sure ain't in the middle of that skirmish, and especially with bombs killing innocent children. It sure ain't there, or is it, in the midst of all that? I also remembered the story of Tommy Orr. I've told this before. It might have been at a memorial service that I spoke at here. Tommy Orr was a CB, 25-year-old, firstborn's only son of his dad, Tom Orr, and his wife, Barb. One of those guys that... he's just a nice guy, you know. And even as he was graduating from high school, and then he'd go off to school and in the army, he'd be on leave. He'd come and visit the pastor, one of those guys, an old guy, you know, Tommy Orr. And one night, this was when we were in Long Prairie, I got a call at a little bit after midnight. Was I Tommy Orr's pastor? Uh-oh. You know what's coming. They asked if I would be with an escort, cadets from the St. Cloud ROTC program. They're going to come and pick me up. I think it was 4:30 in the morning or something. It was in the summertime. Well, Tommy'd been electrocuted working on the setting up the airfield after Hurricane Hugo. Remember that? Years ago. And something wasn't grounded properly. And he was electrocuted trying to fix that whole thing. So the escort, the guards came out from the ROTC program. We pulled into the farmyard, and the light went on, not automatically as they do nowadays, but it meant someone was up already when they saw us coming. And his dad, also called Tom Orr, met us at the door. And Dad, who had done a 20 years with the Navy, he saw those two guys there, and of course he knew what was coming. And of course, on the way over, the guys were, "Oh, this sucks, man. You know, what are we going to say?" "Well, they told us what to say, yeah, but I don't know if I can say it. Maybe you should say it." You know, they were, it's really, you know, they were, well, they were young guys, you know, college kids. But there they are, standing. Which ones? And Tom says, "You don't have to say a word. I know what you're going to tell me." And he'd probably been on that same detail himself. So he said, "Just come on in and wait here." And then he went upstairs, and then we heard the big scream go up as Dad told Mom. And she was waking up. Why do I say this story now? Because we planned a funeral service for him. And one song was particularly powerful. It still is today. It's an Andre Crouch song. "Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see..." You know it, don't you? "Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah." No more crying there, no more dying there. Heaven awaits us, yes. But it's also here. I said, "Well, how am I going to wrap things up here? What can I make a little bit clearer, at least to myself?" And I found this in Romans, good old St. Paul, the 14th chapter, stanzas or verses. I say stanzas because I'm about to sing it. Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Now, it doesn't mean it's not found in feeding one another, you know, but no. By food, he means, well, bread, the way of life. And you remember Jesus early in his temptations with the devil, he said, "We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The kingdom of God is not so much what we take in the line of knowledge, philosophy, food, comfort. You see, the Pharisees were really concerned about that you ate the right things, prepared it properly, wore the right things, did this at a certain time, that at a certain time. And while many found comfort in that, Jesus criticized that order of worship because they were neglecting their neighbors and the ones who weren't like them, privileged. Kingdom of God is not meat or drink. So goes the King James Version. Not that, once again, you're not vegetarian. It's not about being a vegetarian, but it's having enough to live comfortably, clean air, good food, yes. But if we only depend and only can see that far, the kingdom of God is more than that. It's righteousness, doing the right things, treating each other with equality, no matter who they are, what their color of skin is, where they come from, whether they're male, female, in between someplace, their creation. Being fair and just. Not only, but justice, righteousness. Don't depend on what you drink, whether it be booze or what you put in your mouth or whether it's drugs, yeah. Don't put in stuff that's going to mess up your body or your mind, sure. But it's righteousness. And it's that peace in your mind that you get when you can help someone. A few days ago, a friend of ours, he drives to work every day in Chaska, and his car broke down. He said, knowing that Glennis and I had two vehicles, could he borrow one? And I said, sure. So I rode around to Glennis for a day, and he got it fixed. But I just remember the feeling I got that I could help him, help somebody. And I'm sure you've had that too, over and over again. It's not righteousness, but it's that peace in your mind and the joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, it isn't being funny or telling jokes so much, but having that joy, which is the Holy Spirit, almost bouncing around in you. I haven't sung this song for quite a while. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. Amelia, this is for you. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but is righteousness. She's directing all the music. Righteousness is righteousness. Righteousness, it is righteousness. It is righteousness. You're doing that too, aren't you? No? The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but is peace in your mind. It's peace, peace, peace. It is peace in your mind. Peace, peace, peace. It is peace in your mind. It is peace in your mind. And the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but what is it? It's joy in the Holy Ghost. It's joy, joy, joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy, joy, joy in the Holy Ghost. It is joy in the Holy Ghost. It is peace in your mind. It is righteousness. Yes. Wow, I wish you could have all seen her. It's just amazing. We go to God now in prayer, I think, is next, right? And, we have a statement of faith. Thank you for reminding me of that, Jim. It's in the inside cover of your hymnal. It's the one, it's kind of a doxology, where you say the words as if you're speaking to God, and we are. So let us pray together, or say together these words. We believe in you, O God, E Spirit, God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God. Through your deeds we testify. We call the worlds into being, create persons in your own image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. You seek in holy love to save all people from sin. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. You call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. You promise to all who trust you forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in your realm, which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen. My faith looks up to thee. Faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, lay all my guilt away. Me from this day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, may my love to thee be pure, warm and changeless, be a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's fears away, oh, let me ever stray from thee. Oh. And Diane keeps playing and praying, in a sense. We keep praying as well, not only for ourselves, God, but for others. I'm thankful that we have an organized group that does this. We thank you for them and their prayers, who do not fall on deaf ears. Prayers from the heart, prayers for the soul. Those who are in probably their last home, like Oleg Pinsky. And for those that can be treated, and go home, like Margie. We think of Orville Shrupp, Owen, Elaine's brother Pete, John's brother Doug, Ann's brother and Phyllis's son Dan, and the list goes on. Unnamed people, at least not here today, but not forgotten, and certainly not prayed for. For since you're everywhere, you hear not only the words we say, but you hear the Holy Spirit's give us sometimes just a moan or a groan or a sigh too deep for words. Lord, have mercy. Mercy on us as a people, that we're able to look beyond politics or politics, what used to be the art of speaking politely to one another, now has become like a two-sided force against each other. Help us to know that your kingdom is far deeper and wider than that. So hear us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing that third stanza now of My Faith Looks Up to Thee, 539. I mean the fourth stanza. When death's cold threatening stream shall over me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, lift me safe above our ransomed soul. We stand and sing Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
We pray together to say that the gift of your realm is precious to us, O God. It is worth our greatest efforts and our caring sacrifice. As we search for the best in life, we also want to share our faith discoveries with friends and neighbors. And we do that personally and with our giving. May you outreach proclaim to all that nothing can separate us from your love. We give you thanks that you have entrusted to us all that we are privileged to share. Amen.
Give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be, all that we have is yours alone, I trust, O Lord, from me. Amen.
Our last hymn is in times like these, 577. In times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need a Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle, be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure, my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. There's fellowship time afterwards. Please, let's talk some more. But in the meantime, know that the Lord blesses and keeps you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. Amen.